I want to share my experience with burnt offerings. Before I do, though, I just want to say, Brother Jim, that was really a good word today. God spoke this to me when I was a fairly new Christian. And I say that to say that he can speak to any of us at any time. So there was something that I needed to overcome. And one night I was laying there in bed and I was overcoming. And it was practically like you see the old Western movies where a guy's an alcoholic and he's trying to not grab the bottle of whiskey off the bar and his hand is trembling and he's trying to resist. It was like that for me. And for the first time in my life, I realized what was meant by sweat great drops of blood, because I was sweating great drops of blood. And obviously there wasn't blood dripping from me. It was sweating in the spirit. And I was overcoming, and it was really tough. And out of nowhere, God spoke to me right on the spot. He said, "This is incense, the sacrifice of the soul."
Praise God.
And so for the first time, I knew what God meant when he said beauty for ashes. What he was saying was, as you're burnt up for those ashes, I'm going to give you beauty. And so that was my experience with that. And then this thought came to me when Jim was speaking today. Two words that he said really jumped out at me. When he was reading about so many bullocks were sacrificed and so many rams and all that, all of a sudden he said these two words, without blemish. And they really hit me today, because the story came to my mind of Jacob. You remember when he wrestled with the angel? And when he finally was willing to admit who he was, the angel said, "Okay, you shall no longer be Jacob, but you shall be Israel. For as a prince, you shall have power with God and man." So the name Jacob means deceiver, supplanter, conniver. And the word Israel means, as a prince, you shall have power with God. Well, I noticed one time that after that wrestling match and his name got changed, from there on, God kept calling him Jacob. Every time he would talk about him in the scripture, would say, "Jacob did this," or "Jacob did that," or whatever. And you remember the story of Jacob with Leah and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel, but he got Leah first, and he kept working to get Rachel and so forth and so on, and finally he got her and they took off on their journey. Now they got to a certain place where Rachel was pregnant. I think it was either probably with Joseph or Benjamin, I can't remember. Anyway, Rachel was giving birth and she actually died in childbirth. And what did Rachel represent to Jacob? She represented what he loved the most. And when it was talking about Rachel dying, it said, "And Rachel died," and the next sentence says, "And Israel journeyed." So for the first time, God called his name Israel instead of Jacob, after what he loved the most had just died. And brethren, I have a feeling that in our Christian lives, remember Isaiah said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We're all making progress. We're all coming along.
Yeah.
But what it really takes is when what you love the most dies. That's when you're going to start journeying. And brother, and that's the place we want to get to, because so far there hasn't really been anyone that walked the earth like Jesus did. But it's possible. And it's not only possible, it's God's plan for us. And as a body, we're going to do that. But it takes, in our individual lives, you're going to have to lay down what you love the most. And brethren, it's just like when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. We got to climb up on that cross. Thank God we only have to do it spiritually instead of literally like Jesus did. But anyway, that's what I had to say today. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, amen, Jim. It would appear in reading that first chapter of Revelation, it would appear that perhaps John had come to the place where he had the victory over the spirit of rebellion, stubbornness, whatever. It said he fell down at his feet as dead. So there must have been something in John that had finally come to where it was dead, when he personally faced the brightness of the glory of the Lord again after his resurrection. Just a thought.
Yes, I just wanted to say about, you know, this act of rebellion. And where we see the first act of human rebellion is in the garden by Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam says, it's Paul said to Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy, he said that Eve was deceived, but Adam made a conscious choice. And that was the first act of rebellion. Anytime we choose something other than God's will, we are in rebellion to God.
That's
and
true.
And Adam chose Eve over God. And from that point on, we have taken on, the human race has taken on, not the nature of Christ, but the nature of Adam. And that's our biggest enemy. It's in our DNA. Again, it's not the spiritual that comes first, but the natural, then the spiritual. So until we come to the place of making an acknowledgement and accepting Jesus Christ and what we call the born again experience, and taking on the nature of Christ, we're only driven by this Adamic nature, which is against God. But now we have this new nature, and hence we have the potential, whenever, you know, and as you said correctly, every day we will make choices to choose God, what God wants, desires in our life, or what Adam desires. And so the battle goes on. And the only way we can overcome this Adamic nature is by submission to God. Our human effort isn't, it's not going to get there. It's God that'll do it. but we have to submit to his will. And I agree with you. I said this to Mark ages ago. You probably don't remember, Mark, but we were on a telephone call talking about, you know, our nature, the four areas of the soul. And I said, you know, if we could get the will right, everything else would fall into place. Do you remember that? Probably not. Doesn't matter. But I remember that it's always the will that keeps us from God, and leads us to rebellion. So, you know, we do have to contend with this will. But a day is coming. Here's the good news. Our hope is in the Lord, and a day is coming when this is going to end. That Paul said that, you know, the corruptible will put on incorruption. And, you know, we will be changed. And we won't have to deal with the sinful nature any longer. And my God, thank you. I'm looking forward to
it. Amen.
Believe me. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I had one little thought to what Larry said. When he mentioned that Eve was deceived, I thought to myself, well, does she get off scot-free then? And the scripture popped into my mind that said, there's a time when God winks at our ignorance. So it's like, I don't think she was totally free, but, you know, God understands us and he is very merciful. You know, I thank him for that. And also when Larry said that, you know, we've got choices every day we have to make. I've said this before, but a woman said this one time, and believe it or not, she wasn't even a Christian. She made the statement. She said, every hour, we either get closer or further away from God. And I thought, yes, ma'am. God bless.
You know, in the beginning of Jim's word, when he first started off, I think one of the first things that was said is he talked about our daily life, our comings and goings, and talked about the spirit being perfect, the soul not always being in that place of perfection. And there are times, I believe, in our daily walk that we are in the spirit. There are times that we are in the flesh. Probably figure there isn't a whole lot we can do about it. We are creatures of flesh. And yet, before Jim even started talking, somehow my mind went back to old Brother Enoch. He must have been in the same place where he was in and out. He discovered he could be in the spirit. And he probably discovered there were times that he wasn't. But somehow he must have made up his mind when he got in there one day that he said, you know, I'm not leaving this place. I'm going to stay right here. And somehow he was able to do it. And then just walked off in the spirit. I'm wondering how that's going to happen to us.
Well, Mark, there's something that I did not bring out, but I believe it, and I believe that we all believe it and know it, that when John in Revelation 1, when he saw Jesus Christ in his exalted position. He said he fell at his feet as dead, but what he saw was, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was a sound of many waters. That furnace, brethren, is the furnace of affliction. And you can read about the furnace of affliction in Isaiah 48. But he said, in the furnace of affliction, I have chosen thee. And I believe that it is in the midst of the tribulation that we're finally going to overcome that rebellion and stubbornness of our self-will. And it's coming, brethren. And I pray that each one of us will be ready in our heart, because all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, said Paul to Timothy.
Anyone have a little more to add to what we've had today?
Super, super good.
Yeah, just one more thing. You know, you talked about in Isaiah 14, where Satan's desire, Satan's will was, you know, fivefold, I will. And when you went to Hebrews chapter 8, God's will, the Lord's will, also there's five I wills. So the difference, you know, Satan versus the Lord, two different desires. Satan's desire was for himself, but the Lord's desire was for the body of Christ, for his people.
Amen. Brother Edie, I see that you're unmuted. Did you have something to share?
No, nothing to share.
Okay.
Maybe just to say amen.
Amen. Anyone else have any amens?
Amen.
Amen. I do.
Amen. And blessed be God.
God bless you, brethren.
All right. Well, let me turn the recording off.